Well, there's a question that I've been asking myself frequently this week. That question has been, Eric, are you making the most of this Christmas? Eric, are you making the most of this Christmas? So I want to share that question with everybody here in my church family. Are you making the most of this Christmas? I believe that this second Advent message is going to help us answer that question. Like the prophets demonstrated, we talked about them last week, the first characters in our cast of Christmas. Like the prophets demonstrated, it's important that we prepare ourselves, but that we also prepare others for Jesus. Because this we know, Jesus has come, but Jesus is coming back. He's a promise-making and a promise-keeping God. He is coming back, so people get ready. We must be ready. And as I mentioned last week, every single person alive right now, every one of us in this room right now, we are in our own last days. Meaning that Jesus is either going to come back this afternoon and we're going to meet him in the clouds, or he's going to continue to tarry, we're going to pass away, and we're still going to meet him. We're all in our own last days, and so preparing for Christ, preparing to meet him face to face is of utmost importance. And that's really what we talked about last week. Instead, and I mean, actually, remember what we learned from the prophets is that even the process of preparing really might just be the main thing. It might be the main thing that we're called to do as we live on this earth right now, preparing to see and to spend eternity with our Lord Jesus. Today we're introduced to the next cast members of Christmas. Drum roll, please. Okay, good. I like that. Drum roll. And we're going to be welcoming to the stage our next cast members, and that is the angels. The angels. You don't see them? I see them. I mean, you don't see them? They're here. They're right here. Anyway, it could have happened, is all I'm saying. It could have happened. So I went for it, right? It could have happened. You know, you don't know who's sitting next to you. So you better be nice to them. Could be an angel. This I know, though. It could be a child of God. Even more so. That's even more impressive and amazing. Title of today's message is Proclaiming Peace. We're going to learn some lessons from the angels this morning. So I'd like for you to turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And I pray that as we read these words that we don't allow ourselves to go into automatic, you know, Christmas mode, I've heard this all of my life type situation here. I pray that we would allow these amazing words, this picture, this truth, to come alive again in us. Because this is amazing. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. Now Jesus had just been born. The Son of God just stepped down from heaven and put on flesh. Humbly he came to the earth that he created. And there were these shepherds living out in the fields nearby. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. It's getting crazy right now. An angel of the Lord showed up and showed himself to these shepherds. And the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And what was their response? They were terrified. I don't blame them. Has it ever happened to you? Okay. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." I want you to remember that. That will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. suddenly, there's that word again. I love that word. How many of you love the word suddenly? You know, God is good at suddenlies. All right? And so suddenly, it says, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. And what were they doing? They were praising God and they were saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now that's an amazing scene. These are just ordinary men, shepherds, doing their business, just doing their job, taking care of stinky sheep. And the Lord calls us his sheep. Anyway, so these shepherds were just doing their job, and there appears an angel and a host from heaven showing up, praising God. I mean, it went off the charts that night for these shepherds. So, what do we learn, though, from these angels that showed up? I believe this is what the angels teach us. Here's the main message that we get from the angels. And that is this: when Jesus shows up, we can't remain silent. Let me say that again. When Jesus shows up, we can't remain silent. All the hosts of heaven could not remain silent when Jesus showed up on this earth. They couldn't. What do we learn from the angels? When Jesus shows up in our lives, come on now, we cannot remain silent. Phil Klein got up on stage today. Pastor Phil got up on stage. He couldn't remain silent. He came to me this morning and said, Eric, I need to testify this morning that the Lord has healed me. Jesus showed up. A suddenly happened in his life after years. And he couldn't remain silent. When Jesus shows up, we can't remain silent. So how do we engage with Christmas? Because that was a big question. Am I engaging with Christmas? Am I making the most of this Christmas? Well, here's what the angels teach us. We need to proclaim his presence. Proclaim the presence of Jesus. How many of you have ever run a marathon? We got one hand up. Any other hands? Come on, Ed. There's another hand. There's another hand. We got some real crazy people in this room. Because the deal is this, is running 26.2 miles as fast as you can is insane. That's all I'm saying. But I really respect it quite a bit because it's something I've never done. Anyway, so the modern marathon was inspired by this legend that an ancient Greek messenger named Pheidippides, he raced from this town called Marathon to Athens. And why did he do it? Why did he run that distance that's approximately 26 miles? He ran to give the good news that the Greeks had just defeated, that they just won a victory over this huge Persian army. This happened in about 490 BC. And so this guy, Pheidippides, he runs 26 miles to declare a victory. He ran so hard, so fast, so intensely that when he arrived and delivered his message, he was so exhausted that he collapsed and he died. That's intense. Why am I telling this story? I'm going to wrap it all up here. Ready? We'll pull it together. So here's a Christmas question for all of us. How far, how hard, and how intensely will we run to tell others the good news of Jesus? How hard, how far, how intensely will we run to share the victory that we have in Christ Jesus? That we have been forgiven, that we've been set free, that we've been reconciled, that we've been redeemed. How far, how hard, and how intensely will we run with that good news? Now there's a Christmas message, right? This is what the angels are teaching us. Will we go next door? Will we run that far, that hard, and that intensely? Will we go to the people that we work with, the cubicle next to us, on the job site? Will we go to the lunch table at school where that person's been sitting all alone all semester. How far, how hard, and how intensely will we run with this news of victory? This gospel message, this good news that Jesus, the Son of God, has stepped down and he has made a way for all. Hallelujah. To have restored relationship, to come alive, to be born again. This is the Christmas story. See, when Jesus shows up, we can't remain silent. Hallelujah. We have to run and we have to tell others the good news. Amen. Here's an important piece of truth. And I pointed this out a little bit here, that an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Did you read that in Luke 2? It says an angel of the Lord appeared to these tired, stinky shepherds. The point is that they showed up. They went to where these men who needed to know this good news were. They stepped and they walked away from where they were, the comfort of heaven. They left in order to show up and appear to those who needed to hear this message of victory. They appeared. Now we could say, well, Pastor, that makes sense. They were privy to this truth. They knew what had just happened. They understood the significance of what had just happened. That's why they went all this distance and they appeared and they proclaimed glory to God in the highest. But here's what I want to remind us, that like the angels, we too are privy. We are aware of what has happened. We're aware that Emmanuel, God, is with us. We have the inside scoop. It says this in 2 Timothy 3:15, that the Holy Scriptures have given us the inside scoop. That's my translation of it. It's the NEV, the New Eric Version. The Holy Scriptures have given us the inside scoop because they are able to make us wise for salvation through Christ Jesus. We have, like the angels had the inside scoop, we have the inside scoop. Jesus has shown up and we can't remain silent. We have to share this news, this scoop, with the rest of the world. This is what we're learning from these angels. How do we do this, though? How do we share this truth? A lot of different ways. I want to go back to kind of the way that the Lord has given me, and I don't think it's just for me. I think it's for the whole church family here. First thing we do is we need to show up. We need to show up. Amen. You need to show up. Is your neighborhood having a party and you've been invited? Show up to the party. But they just drink and then they get crazy and they cuss and they really just, it's all about Santa Claus and all that. Show up. Show up. We need to show up. And then we just need to simply be who we are. You know it. What is the next one? Say what we know and what? And give what we have. That's it. That's how we be like these angels. We show up. We be who we are. We say what we know. We give what we have. I mean, who are we? We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are those who have the inside scoop. We are those who've been made new. We are those who have encountered the living God, and will never, ever be the same. That's who we are. What do we know? We know Jesus. We know that he's the answer. Amen. He's the answer. We know that he is the good news. We know that he has shown up and that he's made himself available to all that would call upon his name and make him Lord of their lives. That's what we know. We know that whatever it is that our neighbor, our coworker, our classmate, our friend, our family member is going through, whatever it is they're going through, that Jesus is the answer and that he's made a way. We know that. And what do we have to give others? Jesus. This message and his love. We need to show up and not remain silent. Don't be obnoxious. Just be who you are. Well, maybe, anyway. But just be who you are. I'm not going to say it. Say what you know and give what you have. That's how we do this. And who needs to hear what you have? Who needs to hear the good news of Jesus? Everyone. Everyone. Hey, can you bring up the slide again from Luke 2? Bring up those passages from Luke 2. Everyone needs to hear. Whoa. Back one. Thank you. But I bring you good news of great joy that will be for how many of the people? All the people. Then we look further in Scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, the cosmos, all that God created. He loves all people that he sent Jesus, his only son. We look then into the writings of Peter in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. I love this passage because some people say, why hasn't Jesus come back? Why hasn't he come back and fully established? Why isn't the millennial kingdom reign of Christ happening right now? What's he waiting for? Is he really going to do it? And Peter answers that question. And he says, the Lord's not slow in keeping his promises as some understand slowness. See, our understanding of slowness in a microwave society right here is whack, okay? See, we don't understand God's plans and his timing. Instead, God, it says in 2 Peter 3:9, God is being patient with us. He's tarrying. He's waiting because he's being patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but a couple people to come to repentance. No, it doesn't say that. I must be looking at the wrong version. But everyone to come to repentance. This message of the good news is for everyone. God wants us to not remain silent, but to tell everyone this good news. And it's good news. It's really good news. Are we making the most of Christmas this year? Are we making the most of Christmas? Are we preparing like the prophets? Are we proclaiming like the angels? It's not just a children's story. This is life. And this is how we live and move and have our being in Christ Jesus. We prepare and we proclaim. We are the mouthpiece of God this Christmas. You need to understand you have what everyone else needs if you have Christ Jesus. And you are the mouthpiece of God this Christmas. Don't remain silent. Share in love. The Holy Spirit is going to give you strategy. He's going to open up opportunities. He's going to give you strategy for sharing this good news. He's going to line it all up for you. When the pitch comes, swing. You're going to hit it. When the ball comes, swing. You're going to hit it. Like the angels were to proclaim, but what are we supposed to proclaim? Number two, we're supposed to proclaim his peace. We're supposed to proclaim his peace. Now, there's such a thing as true peace, and there's such a thing as fake peace. Kind of like fake news. There's true peace, and there's fake peace. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. ran into fake peace, and he wouldn't have anything to do with it. Dr. King called this kind of fake peace obnoxious peace. This is what he had to say when people were trying to make fake peace. He said, if peace means accepting second-class citizenship, I don't want it. If peace means keeping my mouth shut in the midst of injustice and evil, I don't want it. If peace means being complacently adjusted to a deadening status quo, I don't want peace. King said, if peace means a willingness to be exploited economically, dominated politically, humiliated and segregated, I don't want peace. So in a passive, non-violent manner, we must revolt against this kind of peace. You see, the world is trying to make peace. Big word we hear now a lot is kindness. We want kindness in our culture. Kindness. But we understand this. We just went through this a few weeks ago when we were in the Beatitudes. The only way to have peace is Jesus showing up. He's the only path to peace. And what are we to proclaim as the mouthpiece of God this Christmas? We are to proclaim peace. We're to bring peace. We're to declare the gospel of Christ Jesus to others. This is not a fake peace. This is not a go along to get along kind of peace. This is the real deal that will not return void. This is Jesus showing up and doing only what he and only he can do. We must proclaim Jesus. In Luke 2, one angel explained that the good news of great joy was for all the people, that the Messiah had been born in Bethlehem. And it's important to understand that what the angel was saying was not that, hey, because something happened tonight, that we're going to have world peace. That we're going to have a ceasefire, and no one's going to mess with anybody anymore, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. That's a weird statement, isn't it, hunky-dory? I don't know why that just came out of my mouth. Lord, cleanse me. That's just a weird statement. Anyway, what the angel said wasn't some kind of a direct announcement that we can all just get along with our neighbor or with that crazy family member. It's actually much more bigger. It's much bigger. It's much more significant than that. Here's the real definition of peace. Through Jesus, the barrier of sin has been broken. That's peace right there. You want to just very succinctly, through Jesus, the barrier of sin has been removed. It's been broken. And now we have peace with God. Restored relationship with our Heavenly Father, our Creator. That is the definition of peace. Relationship with God. Sin no longer having power over our lives. But Christ now being our Lord. That's Christmas. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's proclaiming peace. We see an example of this kind of true peace. The woman in, again, the Gospel of Luke chapter 7. Gospel of Luke chapter 7. She lived a sinful life, it says in Scripture. Verse 37. This woman was a sinner. But when Jesus showed up, she washed his feet with her tears and with her hair. Remember when we were going through the Beatitudes and we were talking about blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, who are just like torn up because of their sin. And when they see Jesus, they just fall at their feet and they just confess it and they mourn over it. And what happens as a result? This woman went through that whole process. A sinful woman sees Jesus, meets peace, meets holiness and righteousness, falls on her knees, washes his feet, serves him, humbles herself before him with her tears and drying his feet with her hair. And in verse 48, Jesus tells her, your sins are forgiven. Not because of the act of washing his feet, but because of the act of surrendering her heart and recognizing his lordship. And then in verse 50, Jesus concludes, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Go in peace. You're no longer separated from God. You've been restored in relationship with him. Because of forgiveness of sins, we have peace with God. It's no wonder why the angels were proclaiming on that amazing, amazing day, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. This is the big news. This is the biggest news. Glory to God in the highest. The unthinkable, the unimaginable, the unattainable has just happened. Jesus has shown up. And we cannot remain silent. We got to share it. So let's go back to that first question. Are you making the most of this Christmas? Are you setting your heart, your mind, your life, your time, your focus on Jesus and all he's done for you? We need to respond like the angels and proclaim the peace that we have with God to others. And like the woman who received forgiveness, maybe there are some in this room who, again, need to remind yourself that you've been forgiven. Amen. Through Christ Jesus, you've been forgiven. You can approach him. You can sit at his feet. You can weep before him. And he's not going to push you away. He's going to minister to you. He's going to lift you up and remind you that you are his, that you've been redeemed, no longer a sinner, but a saint. Whew, that's good news, man. That's good news. Come on. Okay, come on. That was weak. That's good news. Reality is that this time of year, there's often relational struggles that pop up. It's frustrating. Shouldn't be that way. But it can happen as family and friends, people get together and things have happened in the past, and it can get messy pretty fast. But here's the deal: if it happens to you, remember that most people, I mean, they're born messed up because we're born into a messed up world. But despite how your cousin Jimmy acts to you, he is made in God's image. And if you have a cousin Jimmy, maybe the Lord's just speaking to you. I just pulled that name out, you know. And Jimmy isn't here this morning, so. Anyway, the one thing is this, we all share brokenness. Let's remember that. People are broken. People are hurting. And if there's this fight that seems to be happening, remember, battle not against flesh and blood, not against your loved one, but against those principalities and darkness that are working themselves in and through people. Man, we need to proclaim peace. We just need to bring Jesus into the room and into the relationship. I had a crazy joke, but I was going through my sermon earlier, and one of my kids heard me saying it, and they were like, "No, Dad, no." So I'm going to take your advice. Was that you, Ben? That was Ben. Ben's getting older and wiser and a lot taller. So what am I doing this season? You know, I was asking that question all week. Eric, what are you doing with this Christmas? Are you making the most of this Christmas? So this is my prayer. This is my response to that question. But I'm praying that God will give me the wisdom of heaven to interact with people his way, to speak his love, his grace, his peace, his mercy, his promises into the lives of others. To those I know, those I'm family and friends with, but into our whole community, anybody that God gives me contact with, I want to be one who is speaking the wisdom of heaven. I'm praying that God will show me how to proclaim truth and open up doors and opportunities and give me just words of knowledge, supernatural statements that I can proclaim into people's lives and over people's lives that will cause them to run to Jesus like that woman did and fall at his feet and humble themselves before him and receive life from him. That's my prayer. God, give me words that matter. Not words from myself, but words that come straight from your heart that I can release. And those divine opportunities, you know, God orders our steps. He opens doors. He shuts doors. He orchestrates relationships. He holds all things together, but he puts all things together. Let's have eyes this Christmas for those opportunities that he has divinely orchestrated for us to proclaim peace, to not hold it in, but like those angels, have to shout it, have to declare it. We cannot remain silent because Jesus has shown up, and he has shown up for all. And our community is full of all and everyone. There's so much brokenness out there, so much hurt. The world needs Jesus. You got him. If you know him, you got him. Share him and share him liberally. Finally, we got to proclaim his return. This is the final point. I'm going to be very brief with this. But you know, Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and we need to proclaim that truth. We need to proclaim the gospel message of freedom from sin and forgiveness now and redemption and reconciliation. But we also need to remind this world that Jesus is coming back. He came the first time as a little baby, humble, in a manger, quiet. He's coming back a little differently next time. Read the Word of God. He's coming back on a white horse. It's going to be noisy. It's going to be dramatic. It's going to be real. But he's coming back, and he's going to bring perfect justice and perfect mercy because God is perfect. He is love. But people need to know him. They need to know him now. So we proclaim, come Lord Jesus. Do you know that this, it says in Revelation chapter 22 that the Holy Spirit and the bride, meaning the church, that the Holy Spirit and the church are saying, come, are crying out, come, Lord Jesus. So I just want to let you know that if you're part of the church of Jesus, if you are in Christ Jesus, then a cry of your heart should be, come, Lord Jesus. Not just come, Lord Jesus, and relieve me of the pressure and the hurt and the pain that I have to deal with because I live in a stinking crazy broken world, but come Lord Jesus and put your resurrected feet back on this earth and make all things new. Establish the fullness of your kingdom. The Spirit and the bride together are crying out for that.